Welcome back to Dakota Midday on SDPB Radio. I'm Joe Telustis in for Carl Gerke. Reminder that tomorrow on Midday, Kara Hetland will be guest host and will be breaking down the results of today's primary elections in South Dakota. All right, without further ado, it's time to talk about things green and growing on Midday. And we're joined, as we often are, by Julie Hoffman, East River Nursery in Huron, South Dakota. Julie, nice to talk to you for the first time, and welcome back to Dakota Midday.
Good to be here, Joe. It's a little cloudy here today, but and maybe expecting a little rain. How about you over there?
Some more of the same, and I think we're going to start talking about water. Had we had this conversation a week ago, we'd be saying, oh my goodness, things are dry. What are we going to do? And now all of a sudden, large portions of the state got a lot of water.
They did, and we were in the same boat. We had very little rain. As my husband says, we were the hole in the donut. It seemed like everyone was getting it around us, and we were getting passed by. But we did have about an inch or a little more this past weekend, which was a very welcome sight.
We should also give the phone number if anyone has questions about things green and growing at 800-524-3604. That's 800-524-3604, or you can send a question in on midday at sdpb.org, MIDDAY at sdpb.org. All right, let's see. Was reading your blog this week, and first thing I think I guess we need to talk about this water is what changes now. What if a person has a garden area or fresh landscaping or what have you that was very dry last week, it's very wet this week, do they have to change some things that they do? What should they be doing to make sure that we get through this area, especially if they have lots and lots of water?
Well, and that is a consideration, especially for some of the things that don't like to be in a bathtub. So if you've planted new Colorado spruce, or perhaps you've put in some lilacs or some of the fruiting things like fruit trees or some of the things in the plum family or prunus family, none of those guys like to have wet feet. So it's important to look at your drainage when you are first, of course, planting those types of trees or shrubs. But it's very important, if you do have standing water in those areas, to get it ditched away or drained away as quickly as possible. I'm hoping that most people were on the dry side, so most of this nice rain just really soaked in, but there may be some low spots that you might have to do a little drainage work to get those to drain. And that is the consideration, you know, when we ask people when they're planting, make sure you don't plant these in low spots, especially our spruce trees. They are, and in fact, there's not many evergreens. In fact, I can think of none right now that can tolerate wet feet for too long of a period. And that, of course, is what has stressed out a lot of our spruce trees, our pine trees, those things that have been showing a lot of winter damage. We've seen a lot of winter burn, and they've just been having a tough time the last couple of years.
I had the good fortune of reading your blog yesterday, and I want to congratulate you because you actually update your blog, which is very nice, And but one of the things that came up, we often think of, you know, plants and everything, but let's talk about our little friends with lots of legs, ants. And I learned some new things about ants on your blog. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, ants are something that we deal with sometimes quite a bit. I know last year there were a lot of people that had infestations. Just depends on the year. Some people say they're worse when they're wet, and some people say they have them worse when they're dry. So I guess it depends on the particular type of ant or where you're located. But, you know, for the most part, myself, I am kind of tend toward the organic gardening. I'm not big on pesticides or that sort of thing, but I know that they can be a problem getting into, we've even had them into root balls of plants and trees and shrubs and things like that, which can eventually damage those plants. So control on those, you know, I recommend there are some organic things out there that work. Anything with spinosad in it works pretty well on the ants, and that is certified organic. There are other products out on the market, you know, different types of granules and things that you can also use. I've probably seen the worst in my own home around my patio. If you have a brick patio that is sand set, you know, mm-hmm. where the sand is swept into the cracks and you've got all those nice little mounds out there, sometimes that can be a little bit irritating, and so you could use some of those types of sprays to get control of those ants. But, you know, if you've got them out in the yard or they're not bothering anything, they actually have a natural purpose. So, it just depends on your situation and, you know, where you need to get the control on them.
It was interesting to read about how, you know, we always say, you know, Mom always said, don't leave sugar around, don't do this around, make sure you wash your dishes and everything because of the ants. But correct me if I'm wrong, of course, but if I'm reading, it's that, no, the ants are just on the move. And
they
either happen to move through your place, or they'll move where it's the most easiest to move. Correct.
Correct. And of course, they are looking for food sources. They are marching along at a pace. But Mom was partly right. I mean, if you're leaving things out, you know, that you're not cleaning up and can get them in homes, especially older homes, maybe that aren't quite as sealed up as well. Some of our newer homes, you can have ant infestations. And there's a whole host of all sorts of, what do you want to call them, mythological types of things that people like to use for control. You've heard of baking soda, you've heard of borax, you've heard of mixing molasses granulated molasses will take care of them. There's all sorts of things, none of which are probably real effective. If you're really looking for good control, you might have to get something commercially to get good control on those ants.
Again, the phone number, if you have a question about anything green and growing for Julie Hoffman here on Dakota Midday, that number is 800-524-3604, 800-524-3604, or email at midday.sdpb.org. Question came in from Vermilion, Julie. What is dollar spot, and how do you treat it?
And what is he treating it on? Okay.
Lawn. Sorry,
there
it said there.
Okay.
On a lawn.
Okay. All right. We see a number of fungus types of diseases in lawn grasses, and especially when we have cool, wet, prolonged springs where we have late frost. You know, the plants are trying to grow, and then we have really cool weather and perhaps some moisture now. And so we do get some of, you know, some types of funguses, and dollar spot is one of them. It just makes, you know, small holes or infestations into the lawn, and, you know, can be treated with, there are fungicides that you can treat dollar spot and other types of funguses in your lawn. So you'd need to go to your extension office or your local garden center, and they can help you find a product that will work for that.
I had a thought last night, and that was about chemicals. You know, this is a time of the year, I would guess anyway, where we're dealing with a lot of different chemicals, from fertilizers to insecticides and things. You know, I'll tell you exactly what goes through my mind. I'm not proud of it, but I'm thinking that, well, I know on farm applications, there are many things that you have to be very, very careful with, and you need at times certification to even use them. But for some reason, there's this silly thought that goes through my head that says, well, if it's just for home, it must be really safe. Otherwise, they wouldn't let knuckleheads like me have it. And I kind of get a little
entirely wrong, Bill.
Yeah, I know, and I get a little lax with wearing my gloves and various other things.
Yeah, and that is a concern of ours. You know, when you're looking at these chemical products that you're putting on your lawns or gardens and things like that, and the biggest. Mistake that people make is when they look, they get something organic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even the organic things have caution labels on them. You know, they're derivatives of plants or other things. You could have a allergic reaction to them. They're still made to kill bugs, and anything that is killing bugs can also probably harm you if you breathe it in or, you know, splash it in your eyes or something like that. So it is a good idea. I know we don't all do this, but reading the label is really important. You know, we're wearing the right protective clothing, rubber gloves, making sure you've got glasses, you know, some types of protective to protect your eyes when you're spraying. Even rubber boots, you know, some people are putting things on their lawn, walking through while they're putting down their crabgrass control and, or their weed killers and things like that, and their tennis shoes. And now tennis shoes now aren't leather anymore. They're the mesh, and they're they're absorbing moisture from the, I know I do too. You walk through the lawn in the morning and it's damp and your shoes are damp. And so it's important to keep that in mind, that you're applying things, you know, the chemicals or whatever, and follow some good safety practices on it. Now back to the dollar spot.
Yes.
The symptoms on that, if you low nitrogen fertility pushes the disease growth. So a good fertilizer program is really important. The other thing that pushes it is dryness. If it's too dry, you start seeing that show up. Hopefully now with the rains and getting, you know, our recommendation is an inch of water per week on lawns or gardens, you know, for plants and trees and things like that. Getting a regular watering program going should help take care of a lot of that. In fact, the fertilizing and the watering probably would be more important even than the last resort would be the fungicide on the dollar spot.
Thinking back to, again, rain from the weekend, and, again, not everybody got rain, but a lot of people got varying results. Is it possible that things that you put in the ground, maybe seeds that were on the verge of germinating and things, is it possible that there was so much water that it, you might have to redo, re-sow your seeds?
Definitely. If you have, especially some of the garden seeds, the finer seeds like carrots and lettuce and some of those things actually would just be plain washed away or, you know, inundated, you know, with that small, those very tiny, tiny seedlings with so much moisture that they would just, you know, curl up and die. They wouldn't have enough breathing space if there was a lot of water there. So you may see some empty spots in your rows in the garden and those may have to be reseeded.
It did get, for many people in South Dakota, rather warm the last couple of weeks. We finally broke out of that prolonged coolness, and now everybody's saying everything was behind. I guess I've got two questions. One, do plants, when it gets warm like this, do they catch up from being behind? And is it, as it's now warmer, is it too late to go back and do some of those cool weather things that people enjoy, like OPs and lettuces potatoes come early?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, last year we didn't plant our potatoes in our garden until this week. We haven't planted them yet.
And really?
Really. And we probably harvested, I'm thinking 500-600 pounds of potatoes off of our potato plants. So it's not too late for those types of crops. They're predicting 70s all week long with 50s in the evening. Mm. Perfect pea and lettuce and radish weather. It's perfect to get those in the ground yet. So we did get a respite or a break. You know, we were in the 80s and now we're back down in the 70s, which is perfect weather to get things going. So if you haven't gotten that done, it's a great time to get out there and get that garden planted. Or maybe you're on your second crop already. Mm. I know some people had them in April already, had their lettuces and all of those sorts of things. They're probably seeding their second crop.
My mother, I mentioned in a note yesterday, I come from a long line of farmers, and my mother is a very active gardener, has been for a long time. She'll be 80. Oh, she'll love this, me mentioning her age on statewide radio.
You're in trouble,
Bill. She will be 81 this summer, has two gardens going at this point. And I saw something, we've got about a minute here, but I saw something I've never seen before, but she's been doing forever, and that is she had like a Rubbermaid-type tub, and she had lettuce growing in it. So she just walks out on her porch, and away she goes. That was,
yep.
I suppose people do it all the time, but it was new to me.
Uh-huh. We actually sell planters early April before people can get things in the ground. We plant them up in hanging baskets and low bowls, and people love them. Set them on their porch in a shady spot under a tree and harvest them all summer long.
Excellent. Julie Hoffman of East River Nursery in Huron, thanks for being a guest on Dakota Midday, and happy growing.